Welcome back to Upstate's HealthLink on Air. Linda Cohen here. Twice as many black babies die than white babies in our community. And joining me this morning to help us understand the problem and what's being done to change it is Dr. Cynthia Morrow, the Commissioner of Health for Onondaga County. Welcome, Dr. Morrow. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks so much for having me.
So that's a staggering statistic, twice as many.
It is.
Tell us why this is true.
There are so many complicating factors, and I think that one of the things that we need to look at is, even within our county, that is the overall county disparity, what we call disparity, the difference between the black babies dying before their first birthday and their white counterparts. But in certain groups of our community, up to three times as many black babies are dying compared to white babies within So if you compare our black Syracuse babies to our white suburban babies, there's about a three times difference. And it's something that's really, it's staggering and it's horrifying. And most importantly, it's preventable. And we need to do more to stop these babies from dying.
Absolutely. And we're going to get into a lot of what the county has been doing and is continuing to do in that regard. But why do you think this is true? I mean, what is the cause of this kind? And I know it's multifactorial, but give us a sense of that.
Probably the two leading contributing factors, if we look at what we call the determinants of health, are poverty and educational status. Those sound indirect. How in the world do those relate to a baby dying? Well, they relate to a baby dying for a lot of reasons. The number one cause of black babies dying before their first birthday in the United States is low birth weight. Well, why are babies being born so small so early? A lot of it has to do with taking care of mom, and is mom getting the care that she needs? What is her stress level? Is she getting exactly adequate nutrition? What's going on in her life that results in a pregnancy with a baby that's either very, very small, or usually that means very, very premature?
So obviously, this is the trickle-down effects of things like poverty. I mean, poor health care or access to health care.
Access to health care, exactly. It's housing. It's transportation. And I think a lot that is probably under-discussed is just literally the stress level. We know that stress in and of itself has a physiologic effect, meaning it has a physical effect on pregnancy. And that's something that We all need to make sure that women are doing everything that they can to have a healthy pregnancy.
So most of these babies fail or die for what reason, generally?
With low birth weight, it's just that they're just too little, so their lungs aren't fully developed. That's probably the biggest reason. They can have hemorrhages in their brain. There are all sorts of reasons, but the bottom line is the common factor is that they're just too little. They're born too soon.
How about things like SIDS, which is sudden infant death syndrome, which I know is in the news so much in the last 15, 20 years as being a problem? Does that play a role in terms of early child care and how the ability to take care of a newborn infant, knowing how to put them to sleep,
It's interesting because you're right. SIDS has been in the headlines for decades. And one of the things that we've learned, the more we know about how infants die, the more we've learned about what we can do to prevent it. So, for example, 10 years ago, if a baby died in his or her crib, and we didn't know what was going on, we would call that a SIDS death. But today we have much better ways of doing investigations, what we call death scene investigations. And now we know that a lot of deaths that used to be called SIDS deaths are actually unsafe sleep deaths. And that's where we can really make an impact. We can really prevent very healthy, normal babies from dying. That's if we put them in a safe sleep environment every single time they need to take a nap or go to sleep for the night. And that means putting them in a crib without bumpers. It means putting them in a crib without pillows. It means putting them in a safe crib that the mattress fits properly. Most importantly, it means not sleeping with your baby. You know, we all think that sleeping with a baby is a wonderful bonding experience, but unfortunately, it can kill. And babies need to be by themselves in a crib without all of that cute stuff.
Stuffed
animals, pillows, blankets. The safest place for a baby is in the crib, preferably in mom and dad's room, without all of the paraphernalia.
And there are obviously ways to keep babies warm besides blankets. They have
sure.
all of these new
sleepers,
devices, sleepers,
right.
and what
so
have you.
So just, you know, you can put them basically in a baby bag where you zip up a nice warm sleeper, and that's fine. The other thing, of course, that we didn't talk about is back to sleep.
Yeah.
That's critical. Yeah, I think we take it for granted now, but all babies need to be put on their back to sleep every single time.
And that's so interesting because when I was raising my children, it was the opposite. So yeah. The thinking has changed.
The thinking has changed, and people can say, well, you know, things change and we get confused. The bottom line is we know a lot more today than we did 50 years ago, than we did 20 years ago, even than we did 10 years ago. And our cultures need to change as our information changes.
Absolutely. You also mentioned to me before we began the interview about another form of early child death before a year of age. Sudden unexpected death? What does that mean?
Well, what we used to call babies who died unexpectedly in their while sleeping SIDS deaths. And SUDI is a different name for sudden unexpected death in infancy, and it's a broader category. But that includes any baby who is healthy who dies unexpectedly. So it could be a baby who dies in a motor vehicle accident, or it could be a baby who dies because of an infection that was not identified and treated early enough. But it also includes all those unsafe sleep deaths. So SIDS has become a diagnosis of exclusion after you take into account all of those other things, including an unsafe sleep environment. So we now have this different category that helps us really hone in on the actual causes of why a baby who shouldn't die, these are preventable deaths, is dying.
So help us understand kind of the history and how the numbers have changed here in Onondaga County. I know that in 1987 there was a tremendous uproar because Syracuse's rate was double that of the national average.
It was. We were looking at infant mortality rates of, so an infant mortality rate is the number of babies who die before their first birthday over the 1,000 live born babies. So I think that that's important for us to understand. So years ago, in the 1980s, up to 30 babies per 1,000 babies born alive were dying before their first birthday.
You know? And were those largely black babies?
Yes, yes. And they were disproportionately black babies. And we were very fortunate. We were unfortunate that our community had such high infant mortality rates, but we were fortunate that we were able to get federal funding, Syracuse Healthy Start funding, and that has allowed us to do a lot of community partnership, community outreach. A lot has been going on. We work, of course, with our physicians in the community, our healthcare providers, the hospitals. We have all worked together with our community-based organizations to address some of the root causes of infant mortality, getting women the care that they need to improve their baby's chance.
And things like a well-balanced diet, early care during pregnancy, the right amount of sleep, lots of rest, all really contribute
all
to a healthy pregnancy.
Absolutely. And getting back to those root causes of poverty and education, our job is to help women navigate some of the barriers that are out there that poverty or low education can present.
How is the factor of teen pregnancy playing a role or not playing a role these days?
Well,
I heard that it was dropping.
Teen pregnancy across the country is dropping, and of course, we're thankful for that. We certainly support people having planned families. It's very important for women to have the ability to prevent pregnancy. And of course, what we would prefer is teenagers not engaging in sexual activity. We've talked about our gonorrhea rates, our chlamydia rates. The choice, of course, is for women not to engage in sexual activity till they're older. But unfortunately, we have a lot of sexually active teens, and many of those teens end up pregnant, particularly in the city. But, you know, I think that it is important. Again, the same factors that lead to infant mortality are the factors that lead to teen pregnancy. And we need to support women. We need to encourage them to make good choices for themselves, to stay healthy.
And to see some alternatives in terms of life choices.
Absolutely.
I think
you know, we
that
want
sense
women
of
to
hope.
Stay in school, graduate, right. Go to college, become independent, You know,
all
really,
of those
all
things.
Of those things will help not only the woman, but when the woman becomes pregnant, it would help her baby.
Absolutely, and the future of the child in terms of a
of
role
course.
Model and many, many other things.
Right.
Let's get to what the county actually is doing, because I know you're engaged in a whole range of programs under this umbrella called Healthy Families.
Healthy Families,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, tell me about that.
So our Healthy Families program is our program, or our division, really, that addresses all the needs of moms and babies. So we have our WIC program. Any woman
Is that
who,
women, infants,
that's
children?
That's women, infants, and children. Any woman who is pregnant, woman who is breastfeeding, children below the age of 5, and of course we have a focus on infants, who meet certain eligibility criteria have the ability to come to us, and we will provide them with nutritional food. It's very different from the Supplemental Nutritional Assistance Program, otherwise known as food stamps.
Food stamps,
this
yes.
is only nutritional food, so it's low-fat milk, fruits, vegetables, whole grains, lean meats. We really work to provide healthy foods and education. We have our home visitation services. We know that for every dollar invested in a home visit to a woman who's pregnant and needs support, we get so many dollars back in investment. It's the return on investment information is incredible, because we know when we can help a woman navigate those barriers that we've talked about, her outcome will be better and her baby's outcome will be better, and that protects all of us.
Well, especially all of the potential dangers with future health problems and the onus that it plays on our society with people with real medical problems.
Absolutely.
Who don't have that early help, that early healthy start, actually.
Exactly. And one specific program that we have is our Nurse Family Partnership Program. So we have different home visitation models for different women, for different needs. And our most intense program that we really want to target are young, teenage, inner city girls, is a very intense program where a nurse will come to her home frequently, much more frequently than a traditional model. And those outcomes are astonishing.
That's really, really heartening. So the nurse actually does what? I mean, what is her specific role?
Well, she will make sure that she's monitoring the mom's health, but at the same time, we start on that educational model from day one, the importance of nutrition, but we'll also help her find a job, get on the assistance programs
wow.
that will, you know, do whatever.
Talk
we'll do whatever we can do. We'll help her with housing. We'll help her with whatever needs she has. We tailor the needs of the mom, and what we do know is we follow the Nurse Family Partnership model, which is a very, it's a scientifically proven, evidence-based program across the country, and we know that when we apply this model to women in our community, everybody benefits.
Wow. How about things like, a little bit of time we have left, child immunizations? That's also a very big part of the
sure.
county's
so
push.
Sure. So we make sure that children get the appropriate immunizations. We also have a whole unit called Special Children's Services. Any child who's suspected of having a developmental delay can come to us to get the services that he or she needs. Really, it's a comprehensive program that includes, as we mentioned, home visitation, early intervention for our children with developmental delays, immunizations, WIC, nutrition, everything.
Wow.
You know, one-stop shopping, pregnant woman, in the community, you know, what can people do for her? First, they can help support her. They can reduce her level of stress. That will improve her outcomes. But most importantly, do a referral to Healthy Families, and we'll work together to get good outcomes.
Well, Dr. Morrow, I can't thank you enough for coming in. This is such important information. And clearly, the goal here is that no baby should die before the age of 1 for these kinds of reasons.
Absolutely.
Thanks so much. My guest has been Dr. Cynthia Morrow. She's the Commissioner of Health for Onondaga County. I want you to stay right there. We're going to be right back with more HealthLink on air right after this short break.